Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Today we rejoice in hearing the account of the miracle of Christ healing the paralytic and also forgiving him his sins. A very joyful account, and a strange one too, if you think about the mob or the press of people that is so great that this man and his friends can't get through the door, so they have to decide to come through the roof. And exactly how that would play out, you know, to have Jesus teaching the people, and then a little bit of dust, you know, comes down. You can hear the disturbance on the roof, and then some daylight coming through, and you see the they're pulling the roof apart and then lowering down their friend. He sees their faith is demonstrable. They believe that Jesus can heal this man who is paralyzed. And the first thing Jesus says to him is, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven." And that is something that strikes the ear of the Pharisees and scribes that are there. They think to themselves, "How can this be? How can this man forgive sins? He's blaspheming." And Jesus knows their thoughts. He can read their minds. He knows their thoughts. And says, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or 'Rise, take up thy bed and walk.'" And then he said to the paralytic, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And the man did. He stood up, took up his bed, and walked out. So here is a picture of our fallen humanity in the one that is brought to Jesus, one who cannot move. And for Christ, it becomes a way to demonstrate in an outward and visible way the state of the man's soul who is stuck in sin. A person that is at odds with God and not together with him, not in a place of having their sins forgiven, is in a state of unforgiveness, in unforgiven sin, is moribund. They're dying. And their soul is crippled. It can't expand out with love, how God has created us to love. And so the man's infirmity is an outward and visible sign of his spiritual condition, but also represents our human race. It's a picture of our fallen human race before the coming of Christ who will set us free. And so when he says, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," he takes not only the petition that these men have made for their friend, and that the friend has made by his willingness to to have them lower him down through the roof, because we don't hear him protesting, right? Maybe it was his idea. Anyway, as their petition is that he be healed, Christ goes right to the Spirit and heals him of his spiritual infirmity, reconciles him to God, "Thy sins be forgiven." And that is the beginning of the restoration. So we see the fullness of Christ's ministry at play in this miracle, where he heals both the soul and the body of the man. And that he will do for the entire human race. He'll be the one to be the propitiation for our sins, that we might be reconciled to God and be healed in our relationship to God and come back into conversation with him, back to receive his graces. And then by the power of his resurrection, he will heal our human race by bringing us into that same light and life that he has shown victory over death, and now our true end is to be risen with him in the glories of heaven. So he will not only, by this signal event where he heals the man's body and soul, he shows that he will also heal the body and soul of our human race. So what do we see from this? We see an extraordinary moment with Jesus and the scribes, the Pharisees, when they say in their hearts, "This man's a blasphemer." He calls them out on their evil. He says straight away, "Why do you think evil in your hearts?" It must have been surprising for them to have somebody read their minds. Like, "I don't know what you're thinking." "Do I? No, I don't know what you're thinking. And you don't know what I'm thinking." And that's not given to a man to know the thoughts of another, right? Unless you're a really good poker player and they're kind of don't have a good, you know, poker face, maybe you can know what they're thinking. But we don't know the heart. But God knows the heart. And so while they're thinking this man's a blasphemer, Jesus approaches them as the one who knows their hearts, who can be only God alone. "It is God unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid. He is the one who knows their hearts, and he says what they are thinking is evil if they think that he's a blasphemer for forgiving sins. So why is that evil? Because their will is against God's will. It is God's will that the Redeemer come and that the sins be forgiven and that mankind be restored. That is his gracious will. And that is manifest in the ministry of Christ, who has come not to condemn but to save. The one who has come not to destroy but to restore. And so there is Christ. When they think it, he calls them out. That is evil what they are saying, that he's a blasphemer. Because he truly can say it as God incarnate. And then he proves it to them by lifting this man up from his pallet by the power of his word. And this man stands up on his own power after God has restored him, after Jesus has healed him. And he picks up his bed and goes home. So there is that power in Christ. He can demonstrate in an outward and visible way that he has power to forgive sins. And he puts to silence those who are thinking evil. We also see a little note that I hope we'll take away from this account. And that is that Jesus says to the man who is sick of the palsy and who is in a sin-filled condition, because that's, remember, he's crippled not only in body but in soul. He says to him first, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." Good cheer. And it's not just like, cheer up, right? No, be of good cheer. Why? Because your sins are forgiven. That interior reality is to give you courage now. And that God is saying to us this morning. Those who are penitent, repentant sinners, those who have come to make our confession to God, to receive absolution, to come on the holy day to commune with God in the Holy Communion, he is saying to us, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven. And if we're not sure if our sins are forgiven, well, let's get there. Let's get to that place. We believe in the forgiveness of sins. And if you can't quiet your conscience, come and see me. Portions of my ministry is to help reconcile sinners and to untangle people from the bramble bush on their pilgrimage of life. So if you're not convinced that you're forgiven, come and let's talk about it. Let's bring it to God. Because all of us should be in that place of reconciliation with the Father, where our sins are forgiven, where his grace can now flow, and we can experience that blessed state of being in a state of reconciliation with God. Because really, that's all that matters in this life. At the end of the day, that's really all that matters. You can have accomplishments that don't quit. You can have letters after your name that don't fit on your letterhead. You can have a big pile of possessions. You can have success that nobody has ever seen on the field of play. And if you could give your body to be burned, but if you don't have love, and if you don't have Christ and are peace with God through Christ, then it profits you nothing. It profits you nothing. If a person is not reconciled to God, and their sins have not been forgiven, they haven't come to him in repentance, then they're headed the wrong direction. They're heading to that place of separation from God. If they're not together with him now, and they're in a place of separation that they're not seeking to be healed and reconciled, that place of separation may be fixed at their death. And that's what we call, separation from God. We call it H-E double toothpicks. Hell. All that matters now is that we be reconciled with God. Let us repent. Let us receive forgiveness. And then be of good cheer. And that's helpful for us today, because no matter what's happening in your life right now, you may have interpersonal conflict that isn't just a nuisance. It may be into the courts. You may have difficulties with your health. You may be facing the deterioration of your strength. You may be looking around you and seeing the collapse and fall of Western civilization. You may see all kinds of things changing around you, but Jesus says to you, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. And so if our sins are forgiven, we can be of good cheer no matter what's happening around us. Just like Jesus says to the disciples when he says at the Last Supper that they should not be faint of heart, right? But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. When we recognize the power of Christ in our lives to forgive sins, to reconcile us to the Father, when we recognize the victory of Christ over sin and death, when we see that the one who is victorious has gone before us to prepare a place for us, that where he is we might also dwell, that we have the hope of heaven, then no matter what is happening here, we can rejoice. And when we praise God for his goodness, when we recognize his power and his power in us, then our heart rejoices. We see this in Mary as our example. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Follow that saintly advice in your life. Today we see the account of Christ healing the paralytic, bring this man back to full vigor in body and soul. And we rejoice that God has forgiven us of our sins, reconciled us to the Father, and recognizing and praising him in the victory that he has won for us, we can rejoice and be glad. And so, friends, your sins are forgiven. If you repent and fully believe on the promises of Christ, your sins are forgiven. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.